Imahe. Okay, so you can repeat. Up bakshaha.
Drinking only water.
Akatachit.
Masan.
For some months.
Katachit.
For some.
Vayu bhojanaha.
Merely breathing or eating air.
Aradhyan.
Worshipped.
Mantram himam.
This mantra,
which is non-different from Narayana.
Avyasyantaha.
Practicing.
Idapatim.
The master of all mantras, Lord Vishnu.
Om.
O Lord.
Namaha.
Respectful obeisances.
Narayanaya.
Unto Lord Narayana.
Purushaya.
The Supreme Person.
Mahatmane.
The Exalted Super Soul.
Vishuddhasattva-nishchaya.
Who is always situated
in the transcendental abode.
Mahamsaya,
the great swan-like personality of Godhead.
Dimahi,
we always offer.
So translation, for a few months the sons of Prajapati Daksha drank only water and ate only air. Thus undergoing great austerities, they recited this mantra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in his transcendental abode. Since he is the Supreme Person, Paramahamsa, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. So you can repeat, for a few months,
the sons of Prajapati Daksha
drank only water and ate only air.
Thus undergoing great austerities,
they recited this mantra.
Let us offer our respectful obeisances
unto Narayana,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is always situated in his transcendental abode.
Since he is the Supreme Person, Paramahamsa,
let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him.
So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
From these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Maha Mantra, or the Vedic mantras, must be accompanied by severe austerities, jai. In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned herein, drinking only water and eating only air for many months. One cannot imitate such a process, but at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya. And then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of the Ganges or Yamuna. Or in the absence of the Ganges and Yamuna, one may bathe in the water of the sea. So we shall go to the beach today. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavan and another in Mayapur, Navadvip. There one may bathe in the Ganges or Yamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return home back to Godhead. So Om Gana Timadanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruveda Maha. So when we hear about these austerities, actually it's a little frightening. not frightening because we're frightened by seeing someone do these austerities, but we're frightened thinking maybe I will have to do these austerities. And it's interesting, even in the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, we have him imposing a lot of austerities upon his disciples. For example, you know, everyone had to chant 64 rounds, unless they were going out and preaching Krishna consciousness. And also, he wouldn't let the sannyasis use the vehicles in the temple to do anything else but go out and preach. In other words, if they had to go to the doctor, they practically had to walk or take a rickshaw or something like that. I mean, it's pretty amazing, the austerities that he imposed on them. And then, of course, there was no question of sannyasis or brahmacharis sleeping in beds. And you hear about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's austerities, chanting a billion names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not even fixing the roof of his hut that he was staying in. He just held an umbrella over his head while it rained. I mean, so it's pretty interesting, the austerities. And then you contrast it with now, you know, seeing ourselves, you know, how austere we are. Or you go back to the Goswamis of Vrindavan and even contrast their austerities with our lifestyle now. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, I was just hearing from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that they would live under a different tree, literally, every night. They wouldn't establish any fixed place of residence. And their eating habits and their sleeping habits, I mean, just like, it's shocking when you hear about all these austerities. It is actually, you know, if you think you have to do them, it's a little discouraging. You want to join Krishna West or something like that after hearing about all these austerities. So how do we deal? The question is, you know, how do we, and even we have great devotees, before I go on to that, how we deal with it. Even we have great devotees who are followers of Srila Prabhupada who underwent great austerities in preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, I was thinking about Bhakta Tirtha Maharaj and how he would travel in Eastern Europe, followed by agents of the KGB. That's Putin, you know. I guess he was one of them. He was the head, maybe not at that time. Later on, he became the head. He was just one of the field agents at that time. So maybe he was actually following Bhakta Tirtha Maharaj around. I don't know. So, and he would just jump from one train to another, sleeping on moving trains, or just jump off the tracks while the train was moving, just so that he could distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in Eastern Europe. And then Prabhupada became so pleased because of those austerities that Prabhupada embraced him. And Prabhupada said that anyone who distributed a book in these communist countries, it was like 10 or 100 books distributed elsewhere. So you see there, you know, the Prabhupada was encouraging some sort of austerity. I mean, austerity means, I mean, if you have to look at austerity and penance, sometimes they're taken as synonymous, the two words. It means basically to do something that goes against the grain easily, either physically, mentally, verbally, like that. You know, because the Bhagavad Gita talks about austerities of the mind, austerities of the body, and austerities of speech. So it means to go against the natural inclination of these aspects of the material self. You understand? Because the material self, you know, wants to sleep, wants to eat, wants to do all these things. But not only to go against the natural inclinations, but to actually do it to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, it's if you just go against the natural inclinations of the body or torture the body, then you're to be known, as Krishna says in the 17th chapter of the Gita, that's you're a demon. You know, so it has to be something to please Krishna. Just like I was hearing about an austerity that was executed by one of my god brothers yesterday. He was talking to me, Jagat Purush Prabhu. He was telling me about his experiences in India. He went to India. Interesting story. I mean, write a book. He should write a book about it, his experiences in India. So anyway, he went to India, was sent to India by his GBC to work in Mayapur because he knew a lot about construction. And so he arrived in Bombay. And then when he arrived in Bombay, he saw something very interesting, that the cook, the person who was cooking for the devotees and for the deities too, was not actually a devotee. He was a hired Brahmin. And he was cooking in a room roughly the size, I guess about the size of that room over there. You know, 8x8 or something like that. And there was, you know, no sink and no tables and, you know, one shelf with keeping the pots. And he was cooking fire in the ground and everything was black as anything. His Brahmin then, you know, there's a hired Brahmin. He had a Brahmin thread. It was all black from the soot. But he wasn't a devotee. You know, like you see sometimes in India during the festivals, they hire people who smoke bidis. Bidis means cheap cigarettes. India, roll your own. It's like that in the 1960s, they had these roll your own things, but not exactly tobacco. So anyway, so he saw this and he thought, well, this isn't right. And then he went to the temple president, who happened to be Giriraj Maharaj, and he said to him, I want to cook. And I was just thinking when he said that, I mean, who would want to cook in such a situation like that? I mean, sometimes the devotees here, they complain, well, the kitchen's too small, and this and that. But can you imagine a kitchen like half the size or a quarter the size of the kitchen we have now? Where there's no running water or anything, and there's no tables to cut. You just do everything on the floor. Like that, you know, I don't know how they do it. And so he said to Giriraj Maharaj, or Giriraj Prabhu at that time, that I just want to, get a devotee cooking. I want to cook. So he said, give me 2 weeks to get trained up by this Brahmin. He was previously a cook, but to get trained up, but to cook in India, you really have to get trained up. You know, to cook on the floor like that. And then Giriraj said yes, and then after 2 weeks, he kicked out the ritualistic or hired Brahmin, and then he was doing all the cooking. And for 2 years, he was doing that. Something, I don't know where the water was, or a bucket or something. Yeah. But it was on, you know, cutting on the floor, basically. There's no tables or anything like that. And cutting with the open fires and having to breathe all that stuff. And then cooking for the whole time, and the deities, too. And then he did it for 2 years. And I was thinking, oh, my God, what surrender. What surrender. I mean, I've never done any austerity like that in my life. Cooking for 2 years, and then he described all the other things he did. And I was just thinking, oh, my God. This is an advanced devotee here. I don't know who we have here. Advanced devotee. You know, you can appreciate the Vaishnavas like that, how they execute a different austerity. So anyway, so I was very inspired to hear that. And it was done simply to please Prabhupada and to please the deities, of course, you know, establish proper standards. So even though it was very austere, it was done, the point I'm making, it was done to please Krishna. And because it was done to please Krishna, it's purifying at that particular point. Whereas if someone does something to please themselves, then the mode of passion, of course, austerity in the mode of goodness is done to please Krishna, and it's we're done with faith, not expecting any benefit. And austerity in the mode of passion is that one does it for profit, adoration, distinction, pride, false prestige, all these other things. And sometimes we see devotees doing austerities for this particular reason. And sometimes we even find encouragement for mode of passion, like you win an award for being the best Sankirtan devotee or something like that. Everyone, you know, just like, I got some notice. Every year I get a notice, you know, propose the people who've done exemplary service so we can give them awards in Mayapur. And I was thinking, you know, the award should be internal. If we encourage these extrinsic rewards, then it also encourages fruitive, but at least activity for one's own aggrandizement. So devotional service. Of course, we should appreciate, it's one thing to appreciate devotees when they've done some nice service, and that encourages them. But at the same time, to, you know, some big, like, trophy or something like that, you know, best class giver or big mouth or something like that. Have mouth will travel. So, for sannyasi. I know it was a Western movie. Have gun will travel. So, that really encourages the mode of passion. And of course, in the mode of ignorance, then your austerity is done just like foolishness, you know, violence, hurting others, or hurting oneself, you know, self-torture, like that. So we really have to examine our own austerities to see if they're actually pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if they're done for other purposes or for no purpose, which is the mode of ignorance. So anyway, so let's examine austerities, the different types of austerities mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. 17th chapter, he talks about, as we mentioned before, austerities of the body and the mind and the words. Austerities of the words, satya priyahitam. One must speak pleasingly, truthfully, and beneficially, and also regularly recite the Vedic literatures. Satya. So this is a standard for when we should examine whenever we speak. We should see whether it is going to be harmful to others or beneficial spiritually to others, whether it is pleasing. Of course, sometimes in order to defend Krishna when he's been offended, or to defend the devotees, you have to really speak in a way that may not be pleasing to those who are Mayavadis. Like Prabhupada would always speak about, you know, kicking with a scientist or something with boots. Something like that. That's not so pleasing for the scientist to be kicked with boots, but at the same time it's pleasing to Krishna. So the point is, this priya or dear or pleasing has to be done in relationship to Krishna. Not necessarily always in relationship with the conditioned soul. So something may be displeasing to a conditioned soul, just like a doctor sometimes has to operate and it causes pain. And it may be displeasing, but the long-term benefit is there. Because it's, you know, it's for the good of the person. So satya priyahitam. So these are generally the austerities of speech. And then you have austerities of the body, which are worshipping superiors like the mother, father, guru, and personalities like that. And we don't find that so much nowadays, even in our Krishna conscious movement. Of course, we do worship the guru, but we don't pay respect to other Vaishnavas so much. Every day we're reciting this mantra in a ritualistic fashion, you know, mantra kalpata rubhishcha. But we should respect all Vaishnavas and even people who are not devotees according to etiquette. I mean, etiquette is very important. One thing you learn when you watch some of these Hindi films, not the Bollywood films, but like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, you see such an etiquette between elders and young people. Even when Krishna was relating with different Pandavas, you find that the relationship or the way of greeting each other was different according to etiquette. For example, when Krishna greeted Arjuna, they were the same age, so they embraced each other. Hey, buddy, how are you doing? And when Krishna greeted Yudhisthira Maharaj, he touched Yudhisthira Maharaj's feet. Interesting. He's God, and nobody can be in a higher position than God. Yet he touches someone's feet because he's showing this etiquette. Yad yad acharati shrestas tata devetaro janaha. And then you have Nakula and Sadev, who are basically younger than Krishna. Of course, Krishna is Krishna's the oldest, and he's also very young. But anyway, by external considerations, they were younger than Krishna, so when they approached Krishna, they touched Krishna's feet. So you see all these items of etiquette, which are very, very important in interacting. These are austerities of the body. And we don't take that so important in Krishna consciousness, unfortunately. But that's culture. It's not Indian culture. You know, it's culture. You know, sometimes people say, well, that's just Indian culture, or, you know, or Vedic or whatever culture. But even if you look in the Western world, people used to do stuff like that, you know, 100, 200, 100 years ago. You know, people did used to respect their father and mother and things like that. And nowadays you don't find that. So we should execute these austerities. You know, it's pleasing to Krishna. We should do it with the idea of pleasing Krishna. So that's one of the austerities of the body. The other ones are cleanliness. As we know, Prabhupada said, cleanliness is next to godliness. Of course, that's in the Western saying, but Prabhupada repeated that the temple should be revolutionary clean. Just like you had this deity worship talk the other day, and there was a discussion how you have, when you have the artic articles, they should be cleansed right after you use them. In other words, polished right after you use them. I like that very much. And he was, Jayananda was talking about, because I was listening on the internet. I was spying. So he was talking about how you can judge something by just looking how the implements shine. So cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. These are all austerities of the body. Nonviolence means not to think in anger towards anyone else. Actually, the Bhagavatam says the way to conquer anger is forgiveness. It's a very important quality that we have to cultivate, how to forgive someone. Of course, what I find is the best way to forgive someone is when someone does something just to see that it's actually Krishna arranged it. You know, Krishna, it's not, don't blame the perpetrator, the immediate person who did it. I mean, obviously you have to take some precautions so they don't do it again. If someone's a murderer, you don't say, oh, I don't blame you, I forgive you, I trust you. No. What do they say? Forgive, but don't forget. So a devotee should forgive, but not, and in other words, the anger shouldn't be there. So anyway, so these are some of the austerities of the body, and then austerities of speech. Also you find this thing, of the mind, I'm sorry, speech we already spoke about, of the mind. Also you find simplicity or satisfaction mentioned here, austerities of the mind. In other words, being satisfied and not thinking you need any more to be happy in this material world. You don't need to go to Neiman Marcus. Neiman Marcus? You know what that is? And get the latest fashion. I mean, it's like sometimes we go in the malls and we see the ladies just like salivating over the different items in the store. You know, they just spend all day window shopping, although they don't have the money and their poor kids don't have enough food to eat. So, and then also, austerities of the mind are gravity. Gravity doesn't mean you don't have a sense of humor. It means just you're always remembering the purpose of life and doing things for the purpose of life. Then self-control, vachovegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, mudurapasham, and also engaging in activities for self-purification. Mm. So, anyway, so these are the austerities that we execute to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, the most important austerity is to maximize the chanting and the preaching of Krishna's name. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnam Jangan Mangalam Angasam Mahatamapi Kauravya Vijakantaka Nishkritam. As mentioned in the sixth canto, we actually read this verse previously, of the Bhagavatam, that the topmost austerity, a penance, is to engage in this sankirtan, this chanting the Lord's holy names, and to give others the holy names. And in that light, one can reduce bodily necessities or adjust things, and that's what's most pleasing to Krishna. more than just the physical austerity. I mean, for example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would sometimes allow or give his disciples rice on a codicil so they could preach Krishna consciousness. Because in Bengal, if you don't eat rice, it's considered that you're practically dead or fasting. I mean, they have rice 3 times a day. They're addicted. Basically, it's their addiction to rice. So even he arranged that so they would preach. So that's the main thing. So, of course, in order to preach, we have other austerities we execute that are maybe not directly preaching, but help us develop the qualities and the potency so we can preach. And these are austerities like rising early in the morning. I mean, Prabhupada was very specific about these austerities in the beginning days of the movement. Nowadays, I mean, people may not take them so seriously. But these are essential austerities in order to chant nicely. I mean, the austerity in and of themselves doesn't give you Krishna consciousness, but they're necessary. In other words, if you use the logical terms, necessary and sufficient, they're not sufficient to give you Krishna consciousness, but they're necessary to become Krishna conscious, at least for the conditioned souls. I mean, if someone is a liberated soul, they don't have to execute any austerities because they're absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. Just like, you know, you have some of these personalities like Vamsi Das Babaji, whose appearance day it is tomorrow, who basically his life, it's a little bewildering seeing everything he did, or Pundarik Vijayaniti, who wasn't austere at all. But for ourselves, it's necessary to do certain austerities, like rising early in the morning, following Ekadashi. Of course, it goes without saying the 4 regulated principles, which Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Offering all your food to Krishna, not eating food cooked by non-devotees, no matter how attractive those potato chips may appear. Like they say, about Lay's potato chips, bet you can't eat just one. So these are necessary austerities to become Krishna conscious. To be able to preach, to be able to spread Krishna consciousness, these are absolutely necessary for us, or otherwise we won't have the potency to approach others and give people the bhakti lata bij. So anyway, so we've gone through some austerities. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Yeah. Just go on, Sankirtan. Okay. What? What's the question?
So, as far as like giving respect and everything, it seems like if we expect it,
well, yeah, we shouldn't expect respect, but we can actually instruct someone to respect us because of the etiquette. It depends upon the motivation. You know, obviously, you know, we shouldn't be like getting our jollies from being respected. You know, I was talking to one person. He said, "Boy, I really need my daily guru puja." And I'm not talking about Prabhupada's guru puja. But this is why no one you know here. Don't worry about it. It was just like, you know, somehow or other they were getting energy from being worshipped. It happens, you know. These are actually, it happens that actually when you get these byproducts of bhakti, you become attached to them, and then you derive energy from them. And it's not something spiritual. So, it's not that we can demand respect, but if we see someone not, like Prabhupada did, of course, when people would offer obeisances to Prabhupada, and they would just like, I forget what Prabhupada called it, just go down and not say the mantra. What was it? What did Prabhupada call them? There was some word Prabhupada used. They would just go, flip, flip. And Prabhupada said, no, you have to say the mantra. And every time you see the spiritual master. You know, so Prabhupada insisted upon devotees giving him respect, not because he needed the respect, because they needed the respect. They needed to give respect, I'm sorry. They needed to give respect. So it's sometimes necessary to instruct someone. As they say, bow down, mister. Anyway, I know that's Boy George song. So anyway, so sometimes you gotta instruct or train, just like the guru has to train people. One of the items, of course, is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, is that the brahmachari, the best training is the brahmachari life, where one lives in the ashram of the spiritual master and is trained. Brahmachari guru kule vasandanta gurohitam, archyan dasaman nicho. That he's trained to work for the benefit of the spiritual master, trained in austerity. Brahmachari life is essential. Each of the varnas has a particular type of austerity. In brahmachari life, you're supposed to sleep on the floor, because nowadays brahmacharis have porches. You know, they're employing all the householders to make porches for their house. And then... And then, you know, soft beds and whatever. I'm not criticizing, I'm just being I'm joking about that. But the way I was trained in Krishna consciousness, we would all sleep on the floor. Nobody had a bed. I mean, at best you had a sleeping bag. And then you would share all your clothes. Of course, that wasn't so productive, since sometimes the clothes didn't fit and the socks didn't match. But anyway, you would share all your clothes, sleep on the floor. But it was a very blissful life. And Prabhupada said that when you're young, you're trained up like that. The young men, or ladies, can be trained up and they enjoy it. You know, taking a cold shower in the morning. Because I don't know who does that now. But I certainly did that with Govardhan when I was there. It was actually very pleasurable. It was. I never didn't use any hot water this summer when I was at Govardhan. I guarantee it did not turn on the hot water heater. So, in the winter, I turn it on. Anyway, so the training is there, so one actually enjoys these things. It's like, you know, training in the army or training in the sporting games. That they enjoy the austerities of doing that. So that's how a devotee is trained in the brahmachari life or the early life and brahmacharini life. And that's why, and even the king's children, the princes and everything like that, they would be sent away when they were 6 years old or something like that to live in the ashram. Like, of course, you have Lord Ramchandra. He was sent in the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, and then you have the Pandavas, who were sent to Dronacharya's ashram, to train them up, not just in skills, you know, generally you think they're being trained in skills, but something called values. You know, there's education, values, and skills. So they're trained, most important training in education, in school, or the ashram of the spiritual master is in values, and these are the values we're talking about today. So, anyway, on that happy note, we'll all execute austerities today. All glories to divine. And, you know, just serving, Prabhupada said, serving in ISKCON is an austerity because we have people with so many different personality types. Having the deal, Prabhupada said, is an austerity. And that's our austerity to please Prabhupada.